Last week I had mentioned that there was a unique thing liturgically was happening for four Sundays in a row. And that was that the liturgical rankings of certain feasts would take place, that they would supersede the ordinary, I'm almost starting to say a Vatican II word, the ordinary time of the year. No, we're talking about here about the regular Sundays, whatever I want to say, the Sundays after Pentecost, as we're familiar with them. Maybe that's just the best way to say it. The 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd. The feasts are of such a rank that they supersede those feast days, supersede them, and so that we can reflect upon the things that were brought forth in those various feast days that come forth. Today, last week it was on the Divine Maternity. Today, we're reflecting upon the life of St. Luke. There is little that we know in actual fact about the entire life of St. Luke, his birth, his death. We do know some things, a few things from scriptures, either that are directly told us or many things that are implied in what St. Paul writes particularly, because St. Luke was a disciple of St. Paul. But the tradition is our main source for everything else that we know about St. Luke. And even from tradition, there is still very little that is told to us about what we do know about his life. But what we do know, even though we say that it doesn't seem like we know a lot, we do know quite a bit. And that's important for us to reflect upon here. In fact, we do. One of the first things that we do know, and it's what the church holds highest up in esteem for him, he's an evangelist. The difference between an apostle and evangelist is that the evangelist is one who writes the book of the Gospels, but is not one who is called by Christ to be an apostle. So we look at the Gospel of St. Matthew. Matthew is an apostle and an evangelist, called by Christ to be an apostle, but also wrote the first gospel. Mark was not. Mark is an evangelist. Luke is an evangelist. St. John is an apostle. An evangelist. But an evangelist is someone who's kept high in the church because following the inspirations of the Holy Ghost, he wrote the gospel to assist people to know more and more about Jesus Christ, develop a love and appreciation for him, and follow his teachings. So even though we might not know very much about his entire life, this we do know. He's an evangelist. And that's the one most important thing that we can say about him. Other things that we do know, too, about him is that tradition tells us he was a physician, and also that he was an artist. As an artist, tradition tells us that it's St. Luke who painted that picture that we're all devoted to of our Mother of Perpetual Help, the original of which is in the Redemptorist Church in Rome. So St. Luke is the one who painted that particular picture, and it's there for people still to see and to venerate. As a physician, we don't have much knowledge of it, but at least if you read his gospel, what he wrote, and read all the miracles that he tells us about our Lord, the curing of the sick and the care and compassion that Jesus showed, those are the things that would touch the heart of a doctor, of a physician. And he would take special note of those in the stories that either he himself saw or heard from the other apostles. And so he writes more particularly about those in his gospel because those are the important things that touched him about the gospel message in which he wanted to write. Remember, you know, if St. Luke also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. As he begins that particular work of the Acts of the Apostles, he says that he wrote it to a man named Theophilus. And he says, the former treatise, his gospel, that I wrote to thee, O Theophilus, about all the things that Jesus said and did. He also wants to write something for him to understand what the apostles did. Not all of them, but a great share of them, and particularly St. Paul, because, well, he himself is a disciple of St. Paul and accompanied St. Paul on his journeys. And this is where we start to learn a little bit more about St. Luke. The epistle of today gives us a hint about St. Luke. Tradition tells us that this third person that St. Paul mentions today as he's writing to Corinthians, this other fellow companion from his labors, is St. Luke. Tradition tells us that about it. It's not name by name, but it's just like St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and they would know just what he was talking about, so we didn't need to name him by name. In the Acts of the Apostles, St. Luke is a narrator. Start with the reading of the Acts of the Apostles. All the way through, it's told to us in the third person, just as a narrator would do, step by step, all the way through, until one point. St. Paul has a vision, and the vision of us on a man from Macedonia. And the man from Macedonia is saying, come see us. St. Paul knows by that vision that he must take the gospel message to Macedonia because it had not yet been delivered there. But an interesting thing takes place as you start to read the Acts of the Apostles with that. All of a sudden it changes from third-person narrative to first-person. St. Paul has this vision, and then we read, and we went to Macedonia. We, not this classical we that is used by people of high society and whatever, but we, St. Luke and St. Paul, went to Macedonia. When speaking of a second missionary journey, once again the word we is used. Again, a third place, in a third missionary journey, St. Luke also accompanies St. Paul there, and again the we is used. So we understand from that, St. Luke was a fellow laborer with St. Paul and traveled with him, and he worked with him. And in the work that he did, he was faithful in his work with St. Paul. He didn't preach. St. Paul was the apostle. He used his apostolic labors as someone who would write. And that's what his two books had done. And maybe by other things that he had done for the people when he went to see them. But this is the work that St. Luke did in his apostolic work, for his writings, the spread of the gospel through those writings. And that way helping people to understand about Jesus Christ and Christianity and so forth, step by step. But one thing, it's an interesting thing, the only time St. Paul mentions St. Luke, it's when he's in prison. He's writing, there's several epistles that he wrote from the prison. He's writing one of his epistles. And in there he's making reference to a sad fact. And St. Paul never wrote his own epistles. I think most of you probably know that. He dictated them to other people. And then that dictation was sent out to the churches where they were going to go. In this one particular case, St. Paul was lamenting the fact, as he closed off this epistle, that he was alone. No one had come to visit with him. No one had come being there, except one. And he said, I only have Luke here with me. Forever, of all those who read the epistles of St. Paul, in that particular epistle, will understand the love in St. Paul's heart for the compassion showed by his companion in the gospel, who stayed with him even through these hard times and did not leave. Luke alone is with me. Those words speak a lot about what St. Paul thought and felt and loved in St. Luke, and St. Luke's compassion for St. Paul. And it's a wonderful thing to give us an idea, a little glimpse into the nature of St. Paul himself. And St. Luke, rather, too, I should say. I've often pointed out there's works that come up with the divine work of divine providence, how one feast usually occurs with another. We're celebrating the Feast of St. Luke today. Today is also Mission Sunday. Pope Pius XI determined that the second to the last Sunday, that means the Sunday before the Feast of Christ the King, is always supposed to be held as Mission Sunday in the church. And we're thinking of Mission Sunday. Mission Sunday is where the opportunity for us to review the missionary efforts of the church in our time and bringing the works of the souls and praying for people knowing about these works to pray for their support of those works that need to be done to bring souls to Christ. And it's just a work of divine providence that St. Luke had done many missionary journeys with St. Paul. His missionary efforts were those that had taken place in writing, perhaps in comfort given to people, maybe healing the sick and helping them. But that was how he fulfilled his missionary effort. So today, as we honor the missions and think about them and pray about the missionary effort, these are the things that take place. But, you know, the sad fact comes down that when we talk about the missionary efforts of the church in our time, it's rather limited. It's not the grand and glorious missionary journeys and things like that that had taken place that we can read of even before Vatican II. It's limited in scope. Doesn't mean it's any less powerful or important, but it's more limited, and it's limited because of the errors of our time. You know, the clergy are going forth and trying to bring the Mass and the sacraments and the knowledge of the true faith and understanding like that to people. We have religious who are going forth in every way trying to help in that particular part too. Our own sisters here, the missionaries, the Holy Ghost, they're